Chapter 51. Boy, you know, we all have a bit of Samson in us. When he said, get her for me, she pleaseth me well. It's easy to get tuned in to what makes me happy and forget that it's about what makes him happy. Revelation 4 reminds us that we were created for his pleasure. David had an awful time in his life where he forgot that. He thought life was about him being pleased, and it was an awful time. And we have this chapter here, Psalm 51. As I studied this chapter, I saw it in three parts. In verses 1 through 6, he kind of really dwells on the sin. I wrote down, he identified a hideousness in his life, and he longed for holiness. There was a hideousness, and he longed for holiness. The mess with Bathsheba and all that accompanied it had been about a year previous. He'd been fighting with the sin that he was just hanging on to and wrestling with and trying to excuse away or compartmentalize, put in a little Tupperware and stuff it to the back of his being. But he realized it wasn't how it works. Verses 1 through 6, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly, truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desiredst truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. There was a hideousness in his life, and he longed for holiness. Verses 7 through 12, he seems to kind of talk about the symptoms. Verses 1 through 6, again, he kind of dwells on the sin. And then verses 7 through 12, the symptoms, and asking God to relieve him of those things. There was a hurting in his life, but he was able to look to God and find some hope. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. I want to be clean again. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. I haven't heard joy and gladness in so long. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. My spirit is off. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. So verses 1 through 6, a hideousness in his life, a longing for holiness. Verses 7 through 12, a hurting in his life, but with God there was still some hope. And then verses 13 through 19, if God would allow him to make these things right, there's a beautiful word there in verse 13, then my life can have meaning once again. There was a happiness on the horizon because of a helpfulness that David could once again be a part of God's plan. He says in verse 13, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls, Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon the altar. We have these three sections here. I actually want to go to the middle one first. These symptoms. Verses 7 through 12. He was hurting. You see, sin has consequences. There were some symptoms, and these symptoms were bothering him. He was asking God. He was hurting. But praise God, there's a place you can go when you're hurting. He was hurting. But he looked to God and found hope. Then I want to go to the first section, and I want to look at that sin. There was a hideousness that he had identified, and there was a longing for holiness. And then we'll conclude with the happiness when you can be helpful and jump back into God's plan and be a part of what he's doing once again. Let's pray. Lord, help us to once again be tuned into what pleases you. Lord, our old nature, we have a bit of Samson. Every single one of us has a bit of Samson in us. Get that for me, it pleaseth me well. Get that video for me, it pleaseth me well. Get that movie for me, it pleaseth me well. Get that music, it pleases me well. Get that picture, it pleaseth me well. Get that whatever it is, Lord, it pleaseth me. But Lord, help us to be tuned in instead to what pleases you. David forgot. And Lord, he spent an awful, awful time. But he got back to it, Lord. And I pray that as we look at this Psalm 51, we would learn from it, Lord. I pray that our hearts would be broken tonight along with David's. And we would come back to you. And Lord, you'd give us a revival, a renewed desire to be tuned into what pleases you. And I pray that that would be what drives us and directs us for the rest of our lives. I ask these things in Christ's name, amen. Let's jump to that second section there, verses 7 through 12. David was hurting. These symptoms of sin had taken a toll on his life. But when you're hurting, there's a place you can turn. Here we see, first of all, that sin had defiled him. Sin had defiled him. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I almost think of Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life, where he's only acting, and there he says, I want to live again. I want to live again. But he does a good job acting, doesn't he? The pain that comes through the screen. But this is no acting. And here David is saying, I want to be clean again. I just want to be clean again. David felt contaminated. And nothing on earth could cleanse him. No ritual, no religion, no amount of resolve. He was vile, and he knew it. And he could stand the filth of his sin no longer. Hyssop was a Middle Eastern herb, often used as an instrument of sprinkling in various ceremonies, including the cleansing of a leper. Leviticus 14 talks about this ceremonial cleansing. Leprosy was this awful disease of the body, and here David seems to be likening sin's effect on his soul to what leprosy does to the body. Sin had defiled him, but sin had deafened him as well. Verse 8, make me to hear joy and gladness. It's been too long. Sin had deafened him, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. He had become deaf to the voice of God, deaf to the sounds of joy. Once David himself, he was the one that would take his harp down the halls of the palace and cause it to ring with joy and gladness. But those days had been gone for a while now. His inner agony was as great as the physical agony of having broken bones. Is that you? Do you come into Fairhaven and you watch others enjoy the music, but it doesn't hold the same brightness and wonder that it once did for you? Sin also disgraced him. He was disgraced. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. Sin brings shame. Boy, you see it in the news when somebody gets arrested and accused of some wrongdoing, and you watch them hide their face. They don't want the reporters to be able to get a picture. They pull their coats up over their heads. They crouch down. They shield their face with a magazine or a hat or a newspaper. But even deeper, it wasn't what man might see that bothered David here. It was what God did see. Hide thy face from my sins. Oh God, blot out my sin. Could it be that would it be possible that I could ever hold my head up ever again in this life? In verse 10, sin had dirtied his heart and damaged his spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create here is the same word we see in Genesis 1:1. When the heavens and earth were created. It means to absolutely, supernaturally make something out of nothing. David wanted a new heart. He didn't want just the old one cleaned up. He said, Lord, give me a heart that isn't drawn to sin like this one is. Oh, I want to be kept from sin. A radical work to be done in my life. Oh, God, do a miracle. David wanted more than restoration. He wanted transformation. Oh, God, please make my heart clean and new. Verse 11, sin threatened to doom him. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Boy, to be cast away from God's presence sounds like what the lost will endure for all eternity. The ultimate doom of the wicked. And here David felt like, overwhelmingly, he deserved that consequence. And the truth is, we all do. All of us deserve to be cast away from his presence. But boy, continued sin caused him to dwell on the awfulness of his sin instead of the awesomeness of the God that he should have been following all along. He didn't want the Holy Spirit to be taken from him. This is the first time in the Bible he's called the Holy Spirit. See, in the New Testament, this is what Jesus said in John 14:16-17. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You see, now when we're saved, we enjoy the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, and he cannot be taken away. Now, we have other things that can be a problem when we grieve the Holy Spirit or when we quench the Holy Spirit. But in David's day, the Holy Spirit had an upon ministry. And the Holy Spirit was upon him when he became king. But he had seen the same Holy Spirit come upon Saul and be taken away. And instead, there was an evil spirit that tormented him. Torment. Sin brings torment. And I wonder that David would have been there playing his harp as he watched Saul go through these agonies. And I wonder if David here playing with his sin and not dealing with it, say, oh God, am I doomed to the same thing? Verse 12, sin depressed him. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. My life has felt meaningless for so long. Restore unto me the joy. Much of depression in the lives of Christians today is caused by their sin. But it might be flagrant sin hidden away somewhere in our past that gnaws at our conscience. It could be words spitefully spoken. It could be lies that were told. The temper indulged. The bottom line is sin brings depression. It takes the joy of our salvation away from us. David did not take his depression to a psychologist. He took it to God. Boy, we cannot lose our salvation, but we can lose the joy of our salvation. The word David uses here for joy comes from a couple Greek roots. The idea of bright and whiteness as of a lily. David wanted a joy back that was as bright and beautiful as a lily. A joy that could only come from God after the cause of this depression, his guilt and sin, had been removed. And the end of verse 12, uphold me with thy free spirit. Sin had defeated him. Sin had defeated him. The free spirit there, it seems to indicate, give me a spirit of willingness. Help me to want those things that are right. And help me not to rely on my own strength. Because I know how weak I am. Oh God, I'm going to need you to uphold me. Oh God, I need you to help me. Sin has defeated me. And it's going to defeat me again unless I have your help. David wanted never again to fall into such sin. He wanted to be kept from committing sin. And even wanting to commit that sin. But he knew that if he tried to live that victorious life on his own, he would fail. He wanted the Lord to deal with the defeat that ruined him and to do so thoroughly and throughly. David's cleansing was to be a thorough cleansing which would deal with every aspect of his life. We see the symptoms of sin. Let's go and look at sin itself. The first six verses of this chapter. We looked at the hurt that David had experienced, but we're glad there was some hope. There was someone who he could turn to. Verses 7 through 12, boy, we saw what the consequences. But now, let's go to verses 1 through 6. David had identified a hideousness in his life, but he longed for a holiness instead. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. In these verses here, I see three things. David basically says, I took a good look at my sin. And it is gruesome. I took a good look at myself, and I am guilty. But I took a good look at my sovereign, and he is gracious. He took a good look at his sin, and it was gruesome. You know, sin isn't gruesome to us. We like sin. Sin is me getting my way, whether God likes it or not. And far too often, we don't mind that very much. Sin, sad to say, we don't have much of a problem with it until he said, I have done this evil in thy sight. It wasn't a matter of how he viewed it. He got a hold of how God viewed it. It was gruesome in God's sight. And until we see the sin in our life the way God does, it won't be gruesome. And until we see that it's gruesome, we can't have victory over it and enjoy the things that David is going to enjoy in the end of this chapter. Oh, won't you cry out today, God, let me see it the way you see it. I have done this evil in thy sight. Boy, it's not evil until we see it the way he does. Verse 6 reminds us, it says, thou desiredst truth in the inward parts. Revival. When we're truly clean from the inside out. David said, I took a look at my sin and it is gruesome. He used three different terms here. He talked about transgression. Transgression, a high-handed revolt against a divinely constituted law. God drew lines and said, do not cross. And I said, you mean like this? Transgression. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyway. I gave myself permission to do what you made it clear I was not permitted to do. But I sat on the throne of my life and said it would be fine. Transgression, but then iniquity, a revealing of the perverseness of his nature. Inside our sin nature, we're twisted. We are twisted. And we have a bent toward evil and sin, transgression and iniquity and sin. The idea of missing the mark, a stumbling, a falling short. Here in verse 3, it says, I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. It haunts me. My sin haunts me. In his mind, what he had done to Uriah haunted him. Boy, those secret sins that aren't all that secret. And even if people don't know, our brain tells us that everyone knows. Boy, I wonder, there were the servants in the palace that walked by him day after day. Maybe those same servants that said, David. And he said, who is that woman? Oh, that's Bathsheba, the wife. The wife, go get her. Those same servants walking by day after day. Maybe Joab coming by. He knowing somehow the information going back and forth why Uriah wasn't with them anymore. The sin that haunted him. And sin haunts us, doesn't it? Sin haunts us. My sin is ever before me. It haunts me. Why did I ever play with it? My sin. He said, against thee only have I sinned. Boy, he was finally ready to get this right. Like in Luke 15 when the prodigal was ready to go back to his father. And he said, I have sinned before heaven and in thy sight. My sin is before God. David took a look at his sin. I took a look at my sin and it is gruesome. I took a look at myself and I am guilty. Notice all the personal pronouns here. In verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. It's me. It's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. David said, I took a look at myself and I was guilty. There in 2 Samuel 11, you'll have to turn there. David and Bathsheba, I was the one who looked. And then it was me who longed. And then it was me who lusted. And that was already bad enough. But I chose not to stop. And I laid with her. And then that time where I'm desperately trying to cover it up, I took the life of her husband, one of my mighty men, who was entirely loyal to me and would have gladly given his life for me. And I killed and murdered him. Boy, his own sin wasn't so bad to him. Nathan comes to him and says, let me tell you a story. There was this man with a little lamb, raised this lamb like a pet, loved it like a daughter. And someone took that lamb from him and killed it and offered it up as a meal for someone else. What should he do? Oh, when somebody else sins. He should be killed. And he should restore fourfold. And then Nathan says, thou art the man. Boy, this fictional man that killed Pet, I was willing to have his life taken from him and a restoration of fourfold. I stole a man's wife and murdered her husband. How did the sweet psalmist of Israel get to that place? David, what is wrong with me there in 2 Samuel 12? Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Yes, I'm a sinner by birth, but I'm also very much a sinner by choice. David said, I took a look at my sin and it is gruesome. I took a look at myself and I am guilty. But I took a look at my sovereign, and he is gracious. There's some beautiful words in these verses. Have mercy upon me. Verse 1. According to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Have mercy. Mercy there depicts a heartfelt, a truly genuine heartfelt response of someone that has something to give and wanting to give that to someone who has need, and that is our God. It describes an action of a superior to an inferior who has no real claim to any gracious treatment at all. The Lord delights in stooping down to graciously help us when we least deserve it. Mercy and loving kindness. Oh, my sovereign, he's gracious. His loving kindness, God's unfailing, steadfast love, often translated also as mercy in the Bible, one of God's attributes or qualities that reveals his unparalleled character. The trait that stirs my God to offer his wonderful promise and then keep them without fail. Tender mercies, it talks about. Comes from a Hebrew word for a womb. signifying the deep and tender love a mother has for her helpless newborn baby. The idea can be seen there in Isaiah 49:15, where it says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget." As impossible as it seems that a woman would ever forget her newborn, even more impossible is that God would forget us. "Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee." Isaiah 49:15. Boy, a deep compassion, intensely emotional pity and affection felt from one's most inward part of their being. And David referred to these tender mercies, the multitude of his tender mercies. Kind of like they cannot be numbered for their abundance, like in Genesis 32:12, when he talked about the sand of the sea, which would be more than can be numbered. So it is with the multitude of his tender mercies. David said, "I took a look at my sin and it was gruesome. I took a look at myself and I was guilty. But I took a look at my sovereign and he's gracious." So we looked. We started with the hurting that David was going through. But there was hope when he finally looked to God. Then at the beginning, we saw the hideousness in David's life, but the holiness he was finally ready to long for. And he could find that holiness through forgiveness because of the graciousness of his God. Now let's close with a quick look at the results of getting right with God. There is a genuine happiness that comes from being able to serve God, to help in his service. Happiness through holy helpfulness. Here we see in verses 13 through 19, "When I'm finally right, when I'm clean, here are some things I can enjoy. But let me remind you, there were some things that David never got back. The children that he lost did not come back from the grave. But there were some beautiful things that he got back. Then, verse 13, after these things are taken care of, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Music will come back into my life. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness. With burnt offering and whole burnt offering, then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." What was God going to give back to him? He was going to revitalize his influence. A revitalized influence. Boy, you go through sin and you think, "I'll never have influence that's worth anything on anyone ever again. After what I've done, no one will ever listen to me. I will never have influence on anyone else ever again." But God gave that back to him. "I will teach transgressors thy way." But David, aren't you a transgressor? Oh yeah, I dealt with that at the beginning. Yeah, I'm a transgressor. I sure am. God covered it and gave me influence once again. And I can teach transgressors thy way, a revitalized influence. And he also says, sinners shall be converted. He would have a restored fruitfulness. A restored fruitfulness. Could I ever see souls won for Christ after the things that I've done in my life? Yes. Yes. Boy, David, that was awful what he did. But God was going to bring him to the point where souls could be converted yet again. A restored fruitfulness. And then he says, deliver me from my blood guiltiness. He was going to go on confessing. None of this waiting a year to get things right. Lord, I'm going to keep short accounts with you. A renewed passion for righteousness. A renewed passion for righteousness. To keep those accounts short. Deliver me from the guilt, the blood guiltiness. Lord, my sin still tries to haunt me. Lord, deliver me from that blood guiltiness. And if you'll do that, if you'll do that, you'll give me a revived desire to praise you. Singing. He says, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Give me a song in my heart once again. A revitalized influence. A restored fruitfulness, a renewed passion for righteousness, a revived desire to praise him. But then lastly, a rebuilt prayer life. A rebuilt prayer life. The Bible says in Proverbs 29 verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I think David is thinking to himself, there's been some mourning in this country because there's been some wickedness in the throne. And it's time that there was some righteousness in the throne yet again. Oh God, cleanse me. I don't want the people in my kingdom mourning. I want them to have a righteous king so that they can rejoice. And here he finally gets, you know, right? Where the Bible says that if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. God hadn't heard the prayers of this king for his country for a while. In fact, I don't know if there were very many. Boy, when there's sin, it's a hard time really praying. But David got some things right, and he could pray for Israel yet again. Oh, it probably felt so good to say these words. Verse 18, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. We need revival. A supernatural retuning of our heart to those things that please God instead of the heart of Samson. Get this for me, it pleaseth me well. Get this for me, it pleaseth me well. Get this for me. Oh God, bring us back. Tune our hearts to sing thy grace. Tune my heart to pursue that which pleases you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Sin will never be gruesome.